Okay, here we are, hour number two, and we're going to talk to Jordan Maxwell this hour. Jordan has been with us as an asset to this program for all 23-plus years it's been on the air. And before that, for 30-some years, Jordan had been researching the control mechanism by which the world is subjugated, by which people are enslaved, butchered, by the tens of millions in world wars, by which the banksters control, by which secret societies and the occult control. Jordan is the master, the kingmaker, and has made the careers of a number of people who have purloined, used, and otherwise been inspired, let's give somebody credit somewhere along the line, by his work to do this kind of research. But Jordan knows more than any man could or should know about the occult control of this dying planet. And there's an argument to be made for that as well. We're going to talk more about immigration, about the election this hour with Jordan. Welcome back, Mr. M. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, and happy to be with you again. I look at the whole world thing going on, and I've been looking at it to the point of ad nauseum. I'm just tired of thinking about the world that we live in.
What's the matter with you? Only 55 years of looking at the ugly truth of reality with no one around to believe you until about the last 20. It's been a long walk, but without you and your work, we wouldn't have the others who have copied you. They wouldn't have been motivated. We wouldn't know probably one-tenth of what we know. And what we know really is restricted to a relatively small percentage of the populace. Most people don't care, can't care, won't care, don't care, couldn't care, wouldn't care. They're just too busy. They're too stressed, and that's how they're kept.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's pretty much the story of our country. And, I used to be very angry with fellow citizens who were ignorant and ill-informed, but I know, as well as everybody else, that this is the way we've been trained. We were taught this in school, in universities, and churches, and synagogues. We were taught to understand our country the way the masters wanted us to think. Until the trouble comes, and then it starts unraveling, and then we begin to see what has really been going on from day one. So.
Yeah.
And when you go all the way back to the 1776 to the founding of the of the country, of the whole republic, and trace that back to the British East India Company, and then trace that back to the Queen of England who founded the British East India Company, and then to all the different troublemakers through history, the Karl Marxes and evolution, what was his name, with the father of evolution?
Darwin?
Yeah, Darwin. Yeah. Darwin. Yeah, all those guys were connected to the British East India Company.
Which was a huge opium drug enslaving operation for the most part.
Sure was. That's exactly right. And you can imagine where it is today.
Oh, man. Well, look, drugs run much of the world economy. It's narco-based. That's about it. Petroleum and drugs. Narcotics and petroleum.
And one of the biggest corporations on the earth was the German,
Bayer?
Yeah, Bayer, but it was connected to an even bigger company, IG Farben.
Oh, IG, yeah.
IG Farben. And there's an impressive book out there called The Crimes and Punishments of IG Farben. And they break down how the drug industry grew and multiplied and ultimately today gave birth to Bayer Aspirin and Bayer Company, and Bayer brought heroin to America.
Yeah. Brought they, all look, they, these, they, you know, think yeah. about what Rockefeller did to American medical universities and colleges. They were teaching, among other things, electromedicine, all kinds of fascinating things. Rockefeller said, stop teaching it. We're bringing in pharmaceuticals. You don't play ball, you're out of business. And this is all about drugs. Most drugs, many drugs, have the word, if you look at the proper name of the actual physical chemical drug, you'll see the term F-L-U-O-R-O in there, fluoro, as in fluoride. Fluoride is at the base, or certainly a prime hub component of so many pharmaceuticals, it's astounding. Fluoro, look it up.
Well, well, fluoride everywhere. And they even got a big company that puts out water for babies, a special kind of water just for babies.
Yeah.
And they advertise on the outside, you know, added fluoride, fluoride
oh,
for
to
the
protect
baby.
Their teeth. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, there you go. That and vaccines, making autistic children, give the rest of them fluoride, and you'll have, they won't even measure up to cattle.
Well, you're right. And I like that quote that George Bush Jr. said. He was asked if he had had his flu shot.
Oh.
He said, I have no intentions of having a flu shot, period. End of sentence.
Yeah.
I don't know what that tells you.
Well, that tells you everything. It tells you they know, and George wasn't sophisticated enough to be clever about it. He just said, hell no, and
yeah.
Leaving it up to you to finish the sentence. No,
that's
they know.
Exactly right.
And that's why in the cafeteria at Monsanto, they don't serve GMO. Now, what does that tell you?
Yeah, well, did I send you that picture that was it was in England, in a newspaper, a magazine, that shows the GMO company that was owned by Monsanto growing the GMO foods and dealing with it in England, and they have it all encased in a glass building, and the workers who are developing this GMO foods have got the toxic wear that they're wearing, the helmets and headdress.
I didn't get that one. No, send it again, please.
It's incredible. I mean, they've got, you know, it's just like atomic power that they're protecting themselves from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they got all their headdress and their and plastic suits, and it says that they're working with GMO foods. And I thought, my God, if you got to dress up like you're going into an atomic plant that's burning down to work with GMO foods, what does that tell you? So
that's the, in other words, they were having to wear protective garb,
right. That's
because
it.
Now, yeah, I can tell you that from when Jeffrey Smith used to be on, he was able to come on once a month for a long time. He is the maestro of the GMO revelation world. He knows it all. In India, where they have introduced GMO cotton, if the cattle eat the GMO cotton leaves on the plant, they die. If you brush up against the leaves, you will become sick with GMO symptoms. It actually will go through your skin. It's that deadly. The harvests are not nearly as good as they should be. Many farmers have gone broke. Over 250,000 farmers in India, and this is in the past 5 to 10 years, it may be 500,000 now, have committed suicide in India because their livelihoods have been lost when they switched to GMO crops.
Yep.
Whether it be cotton or soybeans, it doesn't matter. And you know how they commit suicide, Jordan, over there? They actually take a bottle of Roundup and go out and drink glyphosate. They drink the Roundup and they die. Monsanto's own suicide potion, Roundup, glyphosate, and they die. It's just a horror story that nobody knows about it. It's all kept quiet. Now, let me bring us to the issue we were talking about last hour with Terrible Tim from England. I don't know if you got a chance to hear any of that, but
he's
making it very clear, and I'll just recap this a little bit, that if we allow, even if we don't allow, and if Hillary is installed, there will be hundreds of thousands of Muslims brought over here, probably in the first year. They'll call them Syrian refugees. They're not. They come from Sudan, Somalia. Their IQs are 50. They call themselves Muslim. They're not. Europe right now, as you know, Jordan, is being overrun with Muslim rape gangs. Every country, doesn't matter, every country, Muslim rape gangs. That is what is coming here. Hillary knows it. She's going to allow them to come over here and destroy our women and little girls and little boys. Pedophilia is arm in arm with the Muslim rape gangs. Wait and see. That's the issue we pushed. If Donald Trump backs off from what is called xenophobia, it's not. It's his desire to protect and preserve what's left of America and to try to make America great again. If he is not elected, we are finished. These people, in their religion, look upon Western white women as garbage, to be used and abused. It's called for in their belief system. They will never, as you know, fit in with Western culture. It's not assimilatable. It's not, they don't even teach it. Come in, kill, and take over. That's the message.
Yeah, I know. And it's been thrown in the face continually, but people don't seem to care until it gets here, and then they want to cry and spit and complain about it, but it's too late now. You know, once it's here, it's here.
Now, Trump, and it's only 1% now. If it gets to 5% of the populace, that's it. That's the tipping point. That's what's happened in England. That's what's happened in France, Germany, and most of Europe. Trump defeated 16 rivals to gain the nomination. Upon what did he gain the nomination, Jordan? What was the number one issue?
You know, I don't know, but
it's immigration. Absolutely. Yep. And that is the only important issue, really important, because it is our survival in this election. Immigration. The liberal socialist left calls it xenophobia. It's not. Mexicans come here, they'll assimilate. Big common religion. Islam comes here, it won't assimilate. There is no commonality. There is no quarter. We are all to be exterminated. Heads chopped, however they do it. Child bombers, suicide bombers, doesn't matter.
No,
we're
right
to be brought down. Now, Donald Trump, in this last week, held a meeting, I think it was Sunday, with several advisors on this issue of minorities, Hispanics, blacks. It is now becoming an issue of concern that Trump needs to stand up and repeat what he said in the beginning about deporting all illegals to whatever country they belong to, and then they can apply legally to come back in here. He says 11 million. It's more like 30 or 40 million. But the point is, even if it were 11 million, that would be essentially 11 million jobs for Americans, Jordan, to have and hold and use and survive on, which they don't have now. That's what got Donald Trump where he is today. There is talk now that he's softening his stance, and that is concerning Trump followers and supporters. I'm going to play a little clip here. This is a clip from the Kelly File with Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, who is speaking about the issue of immigration. And what she does say, if you listen, it's good. I may be past that point, but she says, what Mr. Trump wants to do is enforce the law. If we simply enforce the law, we won't have a problem here. That's correct. But beyond that, then she says, well, but he wants to be fair. And I say, no, we do not want to be fair to people who have broken the law. They need to be treated for what they have done, whether it's rob a bank, kill someone, embezzle money, or break into this country illegally. They all need to be treated as criminals. That doesn't require fairness. It requires application of the law. Now, she's saying fairness, and that bothers me. I'll play a clip here of Trump from earlier in the campaign, the primaries, and what he said about immigration. And we need to follow this, and we need to hold him to that, hold him accountable. So here's Kellyanne Conway and Megyn Kelly, and we're going to hear some clips.
Might have voiced views that they wouldn't be on side with a development.
Transportation Force is more the logistics. In other words, how do you achieve the goal of making sure that we are fair to everyone? I think too much of the conversation is always about what's fair to the illegal immigrants. What about what's fair to the American workers?
So they are going to be deported. The 11 million are going to be deported.
Here's what he said about that. He will enforce the law, which will take care of a lot of that. He will deport those who have absolutely committed a crime, being convicted of a crime. He will make sure that...
He didn't say he was going to deport all 11 million, according to her. He said he was going to enforce the law, which would, quote, take care of a lot of that. But there's not a blanket deportation, at least not anymore. Let's listen.
American jobs are protected. He will absolutely build that wall.
That provides wiggle room that wasn't there before. Let's just play the deportation force soundbite, because this is what he said during the primary season. Are you going to have a massive deportation force?
You're going to have a deportation force, and you're going to do it humanely. They're going back where they came. If they came from a certain country, they're going to be brought back to that country. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, they can come back, but they have to come back legally.
Mr. Trump, you've called for a deportation force to remove the 11 million undocumented immigrants from the United States.
Country or we don't have a country. We have at least 11 million people in this country that came in illegally. They will go out.
So he was pretty, there was no wiggle room. It was, they're going.
Well, he's not wiggling.
Okay, so they're still going. He is deporting them.
He wants to apply the law, and he wants to make sure that we have, I think the most important thing of what he has said and still says, and I'm very happy that you played the entire clip there, is that we need to do it humanely. He keeps saying that. He said it last time.
No, he's definitely said humanely from the beginning.
Humanely, fairly, and effectively.
But there's a question about today, and even today you're not being explicit, which is going to lead to more questions.
When it comes to them.
Okay, you got it. She was not explicit. She's very clever, very well spoken, and she did sidestep that direct question. So how does it look to you, Jordan? Am I on target with this message that unless Trump steps in and somehow is able to do what he pledged, we're done. We're toast.
I bring it all down to the street level in my analysis. I mean, if you've got a nice home, maybe a 6 or 7 bedroom home, and the government comes in and says, we got 10 people that need homes, and they have to come in, so we're going to put them in your house.
Yeah, and you're going to feed them, you're going to take care of them. That's right.
That's it. And so now you've got 10 more people in your home that you've got to make do and feed and pay for the utilities and provide for them. And then about 4 or 5 months later, they knock on your door again and say, look, we have about 8 more people that we need room for, so we're going to give them to you. Now you've got 18 people. At the end of the year, they bop in and say, you know what, we got 4 more people we need. And every of the month, they bring in 8 or 10 more, then 10 or 12 more, then 20 more, until one day you've got 160 people living in your 4 or 5 bedroom. Logic alone would tell you. You don't even have to have an education. Logic alone would tell you. When is this shit going to stop? They just keep bringing in more and more people. Well, I know what's going on because I've known for many years what's going on. The best way to destroy a country is to overrun it with criminals, violators, until finally your law means nothing to anyone. Your law, and here's the big problem.
So it's happened in Europe, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. But when the people, when the ordinary citizens of a country see with their own eyes over a period of time, conclusively, that the government doesn't give a damn about law, well, then the people begin to start thinking in those terms, and now the people don't give a damn about law. And eventually, now you've got chaos. Why? Because the government is crooked, lying, thieving. They don't care about the law. They're doing what they want to do. Well, watch what's going to happen. and all the neighborhoods, the people are going to start rising up and doing whatever they want to do. Why? Well, I mean, hell, if you can do it, you're the president, and if your Congress can do it, well, shit, I got a gun, I can do it. And so that's where we're going with this. The people are slowly but surely beginning to realize the government is totally not out of control, but it has nothing to do with the American citizen. It has to do with the world plan, and the people are now beginning to break down. Now you're beginning to see violence everywhere. It's frightening, because what you're doing is you're seeing the fall of the Roman Empire all over again. So I don't know. It just bothers me.
Stated, Jordan. You just nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I have an opinion that I have no proof for, but it's just something that's been gnawing at me for a long time in relation to Hillary. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing to discuss. She is what she is, and everybody who's got a half a brain knows what she is. But one thing that does bother me about this whole situation with Hillary, I think that she is madly striving to become president for a reason. I know she's mentally deranged, but I think for a reason.
Jordan, hold that thought. Let's come back and develop this fully. I think another aspect that no one's talking about, I've mentioned it a few times, is that Senator Tim Kaine will pick up and follow precisely what they want him to do should something happen to her after she's in there. And you cannot, no matter how many appearances she makes on Late Night Live with Jimmy Kimmel and opens a pickle jar, you cannot deny the video evidence that there's something grievously wrong with that woman's health. Back in a minute.
At ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Okay, and we're back for Jordan. All right, Jordan, the thing that's been bothering you about Hillary Clinton, tell us, I mean, my God, we've got a laundry basket full of things, but I'm curious, what particularly has been bothering you about this creature?
First of all, to lay the foundations for why I'm saying where I am, as far back in the mid-90s, I'm not sure exactly, I haven't looked to see when this movie came out, but it was produced by William Shatner, and I don't know if he was in it or not, but William Shatner from Star Trek produced a movie. Are you aware of it, called Tech Wars?
Yeah, somebody mentioned this to me before. It's been years. I couldn't tell you anything about it, though, but I do know what you're talking about.
I don't know that much either, but all I know is that in this movie, Tech Wars, that William Shatner produced, some guys walking into a bar, they've got this thing, the wall. This is before, you know, the digital, the TV entertainment, you know, in the bars. Mm-hmm. And on the television, the guy is sitting at the bar ordering a drink, and on the TV, there's a reporter talking about President Hillary Clinton said today this, this, and that. And President Hillary Clinton said this, and she's going to do this and that. This was back in the 90s, to mid-90s, Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Look at Hollywood. What's going on in Hollywood? What does William Shatner know that he hasn't told anybody, but he's putting it in your face in a movie? Well, take that into consideration. It's just my opinion based on just thinking about all of this stuff I've been looking at for 55 years. I think that Hillary has made some kind of a deal with some very powerful dark people in this world, dark forces. I do mean some really, truly frightening and powerful people. And she has made some kind of a deal, in my opinion, that if they will allow her, if they will condescend and allow her to be a queen of the world and president of the United States, is what she's always wanted, that lust for power. And so if they will allow, she will do whatever it is that they want done. She doesn't care if she sells out her mother, her daughter, her family. She wants the power. And if she gets that power, what is it that she has made a deal, and who has she made this deal with? Because part two of this is that she is fighting and struggling beyond all belief to become president. Why? It's because it was already prophesied. The powers that be in this world behind the scene had already decided, okay, we'll let you. We got some other people to put in first. We got to put this other, he's going to do this and that. But I'll get around to you. And there'll be a day when we come to you.
Yeah, we're dropping out a little bit, Jordan, on the
knowing what I. Okay.
Skype.
Okay. Well, is that a little better?
Yeah. Okay. Start back up about 30 seconds.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Build, and she has to fold that deal, and that's why she's still.
You know. I, in all likelihood, you're 100% correct. This is an interesting deal. This is actually a William Shatner written and conceived of TV series. It ran for 2 years, 1994 to 1996. The year was set in the future, and it's called Tech War. Tech War. I'm sure that's
spelled
TEKWAR.
Oh, okay.
Is that it? That's William Shatner. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. Now, when you look at what the Clintons have been able to steal, what they have taken, they have set up the most egregious, outrageous criminal financial institution, the Clinton Foundation, that I have ever heard of. They have had $3 billion put through that, at least. A tremendous number of people, while she was Secretary of State, were given preferential treatment and almost immediate access to her on the basis of how much money they put into the private Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. It's bribery, absolute bribery. And they've been getting away with this for... The Clintons believe they can get away with anything. And so far, they have. That goes back to your point about laws no longer being adhered to, even recognized. When the 1% walks all over them, the 99% begins to fall apart. Say, well, why should we follow the law? What? Why? And that's a very important non-rhetorical question. The criminality in politics is so huge in this country that I don't believe it's repairable. It can't be remediated. It's that bad. Now, when I say John McCain to you, Jordan, I know what you would say, but if I were to say Senator John McCain to the average person who knew a little bit, what would they say? They would say, ah, yeah, John McCain, yeah, shot down Vietnam, POW, hero, served his time in North Vietnam custody, made it back to America, and has been an American hero and politician ever since. But that would be a normal response, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, somebody finally dug up a recording that John McCain made. Did you hear this?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They call him Songbird, those people who know. He sang like a canary to the North Vietnamese. He sold us out. He sold out his fellow POWs. He is a fraud. He is a traitor to this country. Now, during World War II, there was someone named Tokyo Rose who made recordings in English for the Japanese government. The Japanese government used them with actually great effect. Here's John McCain as a prisoner in North Vietnam, this recording should tell you all you will ever need to know about this guy, who is anything but an American hero. And it's a little scratchy, but you'll get it.
The millions of people in the government of the DRVN, from John Sidney McCain, 624787, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, born 29 August 1936, Panama, home state.
Panama, home state, Oregon. But he was born in Panama. He mentioned that. This is a statement he made, which broadcast on North Vietnamese radio, even to the prisoners in the POW camps.
Shot down 26 October 1967, 8:14 in Alcra. I, as a U.S. airman, am guilty of crimes against the Vietnamese country and people. I have bombed their cities, towns, and villages and caused many injuries, even death, to the people.
All right, I've bombed cities, towns, and villages and caused many injuries, even deaths, among the people of
Vietnam. I was captured in the capital city of Hanoi while attacking it. After I was captured, I was taken to the hospital in Hanoi, where I received very good medical treatment. I was given an operation on my leg, which allowed me to walk again, and a cast on my right arm, which was badly broken in three places. The doctors were very good, and they knew a great deal about the practice of medicine. I remained in the hospital for some time and regained much of my health and strength. Since I arrived in the camp of detention, I have received humane and lenient treatment. I received discount treatment and food, even though I came here as an aggressor, and the people who I injured have much difficulty in their living standards. I wish
to express my deep gratitude for my kind treatment, and I will never forget the kindness extended to me. Let's let him finish this up.
Express my deep gratitude for my kind treatment, and I will never forget that.
All right,
there you go. That's enough. Anyway, there's the hero John McCain. What do you call that when you sell your country out like that?
Well, used to. I don't know about now, but there was a time when I was growing up, it was called treason.
Mm-hmm.
High crimes and treason against the Republic. But yeah. I don't know what they call it today, because it's probably not important.
No, they call it just getting along.
Yeah, whatever.
So there anyway. You go. Okay, we live in a system that no more represents the will of the American people than does Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, I know. And it's pretty bad. Well, like I've said to you so many times before, the American people have no power to cause anything. They have no power to do anything or to cause anything to happen, because knowledge is power. And as long as you don't actually, in fact, know how anything really works, then you have no power to change it. I mean, you know, you can be wealthy and driving a Rolls Royce, but if it breaks down in the desert, if you don't know how to fix it, you've got no power to do anything. So knowledge is power. And the people have little to no knowledge.
Oh, it's what it is. It's actually distributed and released to the public to get the public to. It's like chum with fish. You chum them, you bait them, and then when they come around the hook, then you pull that knowledge away. And right now, the amount of actual knowledge disclosed by this government as to what it's doing to us is very, very little. Very little. Nothing. Knowledge has been withdrawn. We've got a nation of idiots, imbeciles, who are being taught, trained, and inculcated with idiocy. And they've got their smartphones, and they're addicted to that. Their lives have been literally eviscerated from reality and recreated in a fashion to suit the 1% globalists. It's amazing. And I think there are a lot of Americans who understand that, at least intuitively, and that's what's fueled the candidacy of Donald Trump. And I can only hope that if the man is serious and says, we will enforce the laws call for the deportation of illegals. But he won't say it. He will say radical Islam, but his spokespeople are saying, yes, he wants the laws enforced. Okay, let's be more specific. What do the laws say? That's what I need to hear. And he did say it early on, The people here illegally from over 70 different countries need to be sent home, and their jobs need to be given to Americans. We need to stop paying for these people's homes, cars, food, medical, education, and every other social-oriented cost that they may incur. That's what we're doing, Jordan.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, I know you know. I'm just speaking off the top here.
Amazing.
We were talking 23 years ago when you first came on this program about the same basic things. Your message back then sounded not outlandish, but way out there. Now, it's right where it always was, smack dab on spot.
Yeah, because I knew a long time ago, before I ever got into radio, that there is a hidden hand that is overshadowing, is a term I like to use. It's an overshadowing,
yeah,
hidden hand,
yeah,
in world affairs, which no one is able to cope with. No one is able to do anything with, because it's hidden and it's extremely old, very powerful, and well protected, so that you will never. I mean, I remember hearing from guys in the from way up in the mob that I knew, and they told me, you know, the real people who run this planet, you will never hear of. You will never know who they are. You will never see them. There's no need for them to show themselves ever. They are in very powerful places in around the world, high up, so that you will not know who they are, and they are pulling the strings for the human destiny of the world, for their own agenda. Now, I knew that many, many years ago, and so that's how I got into looking at secret societies and subversive movements. And my God, the more I began to look, the more that was there, until finally today, it's everywhere. What we're seeing on the earth today is the work of secret societies, profoundly powerful organizations. It's somewhat easy for us to think about organized crime in New York and the five families and all that kind of stuff. And we have all kinds of television shows portraying and showing what the organized crime has done, is doing, and is involved in. So we understand that there are some very powerful organizations which are dedicated to criminal activity. But it never occurred to anybody, what about your church, Arrowhead? What about your government, Arrowhead? What about the way the world operates in courts and commerce and military and education? The entire superstructure of Western civilization is a criminal outfit. It runs the world. I mean, I've said this before, and it bears saying again. For almost 2,300 years, the Roman Empire has dominated Europe. First of all, with the coming of the Roman Republic, and Rome dominated all of Europe, and still does, even today. For 2,300 years, the Pope is still the boss.
Yeah.
And so dominated the world for 2,300 years. But at the same time, for 2,300 years, Europe has dominated the world. And so the bottom line is, it goes back to Europe, it goes back to secret societies in European history, back in the Middle Ages, with the secret powerful orders, money, politics. My God, the whole story is a very old and ancient story of betrayal of the whole human race by people who are criminals. And I've told you this before, and I say it again. The people of this world, and especially I'm thinking of my own country, are like cattle on the Serengeti plains of Africa. They're just out there with their young, doing what they're doing, looking for water, looking for something to eat, just hanging around every day, while the lions are slipping up on them very quietly, and
sure,
they're organized. They know exactly,
yeah,
what they're doing. Everybody, every lion has a place, and a place for every lion, and they know exactly what they're doing. And when the lions finally decide to take to kill some of the animals, then they run, they stampede, you would think, you know, 1,000 water buffalo, as big and as fierce as they are, would surround themselves and kill the
lions. Oh, they could kill the lion. They could trample them to death
if they
revolted, sure.
Yep. But no, they run. And that's what's happening today.
Well, it's a fear-based culture. It's a fear-based society. It's all about
that's
fear.
It.
Taxes,
no,
fear of taxes, fear of poor health, fear of mortgage, fear of, you name it, fear of losing a job. Jordan, we have 320 million people in this country, 95 million people are unemployed. They have no jobs.
Well, let me throw this one in, too. On television at night and on the web continually, on the History Channel, on Discovery Channel, all the cable channels having television specials on the prisons.
Yeah.
Rape in prison,
oh,
riots in prison, prison
oh,
this, prison that.
I didn't know.
Gangs in prison. Why are these National Geographic runs all kinds of shows on prisons and prison riots and all that?
Well, it's propaganda, brainwashing, mind control.
Of course it is.
Yeah. They're getting people ready. This is the way of life. FEMA
and
camps.
They're also telling you, look at you get out of line and
yeah,
people
it's all
are going to send you.
Scaring the hell out of people. This is
that's
where you're
right.
going. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's all there is to it. They're not showing you
what people
you know,
see this the society we live in, Jordan, as you well know, you know better than anyone. We live in a prison already. A financial prison, a prison of usury
education,
and interest.
Knowledge.
Education, knowledge. We're addicted, given things to be addicted to. Anything from drugs to television to smartphones, it doesn't matter. We're addicted. We're hopelessly crippled when it comes to trying to maintain a relationship with a member of the opposite sex. Women don't know who the hell they are. Men are being feminized. They don't know who the hell they are. No one knows their place anymore. This whole transgender thing is further designed to completely, permanently confuse people for the rest of their lives as far as their gender, their place. The nuclear family was destroyed. We watched the whole thing.
I know, and unfortunately, there's not much we can do about it because the people, you know, and I hear people telling me all the time, well, you know, people are waking up now.
People are starting
to wake up. Yeah, and I said, that's what you do when you're in prison, airhead. You wake up every morning, but you're still in prison.
Those vertical things are bars. I'll be damned.
No,
I didn't know what they were. Yeah.
So you can wake up, but you're still in prison.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the way it is, and it's not going to change any. Here, I got a story here, and I don't know anything much about the Pope, except I don't like him. I think he's creepy. I would suspect that he has a background of pedophilia. He certainly runs the biggest overtly pedophile club in the world. No question about that. I got a story here that Pope Francis to proclaim Lucifer as God of the one world religion in September. There's a big, the three largest faiths are getting together. They're going to have a meeting, in Jerusalem with the Pope. What are your thoughts about this guy?
Well, I too do not like his looks, but I know more about the Catholic Church, and so the whole thing is an incredible story when you finally find out what the Catholic Church is really all about and what it's always been about. But that's a whole other story for another time.
We'll do that on our next get-together, maybe,
yeah,
to help people understand. This man is a reflection of darkness to me. I don't like him at all.
No doubt.
None.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Before I go, I'd like to tell people that if you go on my, if you want to contact me or if you want to.
Yeah, this is very important, folks, and you are all invited to contact Jordan, but make sure you do it through the right channel. Go ahead.
That's right, exactly. Because there are websites out there that have my name on them, but they're not mine. People are using my name to make money and to draw attention to themselves. I only have one place out there that's legitimately mine. It's called Jordan Maxwell Show, SHOW. Anything else is not mine. So go to jordanmaxwellshow.com And on my website, Jordan Maxwell Show, it's a podcast, but on there also I have a second website that's called Research Society. And this is where I'm uploading all of my research material onto a private research website. Documents, pictures, videos, audio, video, links, all kinds of research and pictures and articles. But I'm doing it privately. I'm doing it on my second website.
Very good. And people can get access for life to your treasury of material, the real material from the real Jordan Maxwell. Give them that address again, Jordan.
Simple. JordanMaxwellShow.com. And then click on Research Society website.
All right. JordanMaxwellShow.com, Research Society website. Go there. This man has so much material. He's 55 years of collecting it, collating it, and making it presentable. It's all there. All right, Jordan, thank you for being here. We'll talk again soon. And so much happening so quickly now. It's really crazy.
Yeah, persevere. Yeah. We'll talk again.
Okay, thanks, my friend. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Jordan Maxwell. All right, we'll pause and come back with Hour 3 in just a few minutes.